For years, I worked as a TV reporter and journalist, covering the stories assigned to me. Today, I'm on a different assignment, and I'm taking orders from a different boss. I've combined my reporting skills with my spiritual ability to come up with a new assignment, the Eden Assignment.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Eden Assignment Warfare Series. I am Karen Eden. My assignment for the last 3 weeks is answering the question, why do bad things happen to people? Or when evil attacks, and I've broken it down into three different categories: people, places, and things, as far as when evil attacks. So if you want to refer back to case number 9 for when evil attacks people, case number 10, when evil attacks in various places, houses, buildings, etc. And today is going to be when evil attaches itself to things, items, objects. All right, here we go. There is a reference in the Old Testament that says, get cursed things out of your house. It was very well known thousands of years ago that evil things can become so because items will have attachments to them. So why and how basically are the two questions to go with that. Why are there attachments to things? A couple of reasons. One of those reasons is because there are people out there who practice dark arts, and they will curse things and give those things away. Even to this very day, they'll do that to cause calamity to fall upon somebody. Also, if the evil can attach itself to things because of the environment that it was in. If, God forbid, something heinous happened, a murder or something horrible happened in a certain area, the evil can attach itself to an item that may have been in that particular area. Or a lot of times, if there's a haunted item, people who have spirits in them, when they pass, those spirits don't die. Those spirits go back to what they love, and if they loved a certain object or item, they can attach themselves. Those spirits can attach themselves to certain items. It's not the soul of that man. It's not the spirit of the person, the man or the woman, because the Bible says that whenever you die, the soul immediately will depart and go to heaven or hell. But the spirits, the attachments, the demons that person could have had in them will go back to what it's love, oftentimes, because you can't kill any kind of spirit. And if that happens to be an item, well, then it will reattach itself. So just a note to yourself here. Whenever you're going out to various thrift stores, antique shops, secondhand shops, that kind of thing, which I personally do and I enjoy doing, you got to be careful what you pick up. You got to be careful what you bring into your house. You know, make sure that you just pray over the things that you bring into your house. Even sometimes if I see, you know, I like dishes and plates and things, and sometimes I like to create a certain look, and I'll go to a thrift store, a secondhand store, to get certain items that I just can't even find in a store today. But I'll always bring them in and say a prayer of blessing over them in case there's any kind of an attachment to any item that I got at a secondhand store. And you need to do that with antiques because you don't know the calamity that may have befallen the person who originally owned this stuff. I mean, you don't know that you're picking up a plate or a piece of jewelry or something from someone that was murdered or someone who went through a really hard time, a purse, a pocketbook. Maybe the person had financial ruin, and then you're picking up their purse, and it carries with it the energy of that financial ruin. You just don't know. When you pick up rings and diamond rings and wedding dresses, you don't know if maybe that person has given those items over and donated them because now the relationship was broken, and now those items have with it a certain type of energy that you're going to bring into your own relationship. So you need to be very careful. It's not like you can't get them or you can't pick these items up, but you want to pray over them again. You have full dominion, power, and authority over all evil, and cause them now to belong to you. And I always say that when I pray over things. This now belongs to a holy person, so any kind of attachment you have to leave immediately in Jesus' name. So use your tools and use your gifts and your abilities to handle these situations. You're not a helpless person. There are people who are designed and called holy people who can go in and help mitigate any type of attachment situation, whether it's a person, place, or thing. But, you know, if you're covered with the blood of Christ, you can do it yourself. All you have to do is plead the blood of Jesus. Jesus Christ said, I give you full dominion, power, and authority to go into the world and handle all the things that I've done, even more so to be greater than me when handling these things. And it's really more than just knowing that you have that capability. It's going out and taking care of the situation and doing your part to battle evil, I guess is the best way to put that. So my whole intention behind the Eden Assignment Warfare series is to give people a good background and knowledge and an understanding of what is available to you, and then to let you know some of the things that you're going to have to battle out there. We battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, principalities of darkness, principalities in high place. Read Ephesians chapter 6, because it outlines to you that your real battles are coming from a place of a spiritual darkness. And, you know, I talk to people all the time. I have a degree in biblical counseling, and I use it. I don't solicit for it, but a lot of people are brought into my path, especially a lot of preachers and cops. But that's okay, because maybe my style works well with them. But I want to let you know, when you have a higher calling, as you would as a preacher, minister, pastor, holy person, man, you got to know. You're going to, you know, you're doing a war cry there. You better expect the enemy's going to try to attack you. I mean, you have to know this going in. I had a female minister call me some time ago in tears. She's like, you know, I just don't understand why everything's against me. And I'm just, you know, I'm a minister. Why is everything coming against me and falling apart? She was doubting her faith. I could hear it in her voice. That's what she was saying, you know, in a nice way. And I'm like, sister, what did you think was going to happen? You're riding a white horse, waving the flag, doing a war cry, and you think you're not going to go to battle and have to battle stuff in the spirit realm? I mean, you better know that. It's not a comfy, cozy thing to say you're a minister, a holy person, an ordained anything. You're doing a war cry. You're going to have to go into battle. Not only battle, you're going to have to lead you're going to have to lead those battles. That's what you do when you're a leader, a holy person. You have to lead. You're the first to be seen on that white horse, and you may be the first to get fired at, ladies and gentlemen. You got to know that going in. So you need to protect yourself. And all these things, these attacks, these evil attacks on people and places and on particular items, you know, don't be surprised. But be prepared. Be ready. Be prepared. I could tell you so many stories. Oh, man, I don't even know where to begin, of attachments onto items that were brought into holy people's houses. This is very real. Let me tell you one personal incident that I had. And this was several years ago. I was coming out of the TV business. And, you know, when you're in TV, they want you to have that anchor look. You know, kind of a more of a, well, maybe not so much now, but when I was in television, they wanted more of a conservative look. And so you couldn't just have long, straight Native American kind of hair like I do. You know, it had to have a professional look about it. So they actually go out of their way to send you to these salons and stuff to work with the best in town. You know, they go over your head shape, your face features, and just everything, to try to figure out your hairdo. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. The hair color for your skin type, your facial features, what kind of face, kind of head do you have to handle your hairdo? My gosh. I don't miss that, because I want to let you know, and if you did my hair, I apologize. Hold your ears. But I hated every single one of those hairdos for almost 25 years. Hated every one of them. Some of them were a little on the stiff side. I mean, it's like wearing a helmet, man. Ridiculous. But anyway, See, now I don't even remember what I was saying. But you get, they'll send you to go get a particular hairdo in the TV business. They go out of their way to make sure that you're wearing the clothes that fit well with your body type if you're going to be standing up, which I was always standing up. I never rarely got to sit down like the anchors because I was a weather anchor. They go out of their way to make sure that you are prepared for that job, and they spend a lot of money doing it. You would be surprised what goes into that. But, you know, in the spirit realm, you need to really be prepared in every shape and form for what kind of attack you may be getting. Oh, I know what it was. Okay, so I've totally let my hair, you know, grow out and just be natural, which is the way I wore it when I was young before I got into the TV business. I couldn't be happier. But when I was growing my hair out, I actually got these extensions, these hair extensions, real hair, live hair extensions, and you can pay to get them put in. Call it a weave, hair sewn in, extensions, I don't care. I don't have to do that now. It's been so many years. My hair is, I mean, really long now. But back then it was kind of neck length, maybe a little past my neck, and I didn't like it. So to speed things up, I decided to add in some extensions. And this is real hair. This is real human hair. There are people in third world countries, women with black hair, who will sell their hair and get a lot of money for it. But as soon as those things went in, ladies and gentlemen, I got depressed. I don't know why. I looked pretty good. Look in the mirror. I liked the way it looked, but I just was sad. I had no reason to be sad or depressed, and I couldn't really figure out what was going on. I mean, just every day. I'm not someone who battles depression. And every day, it was just like, what is wrong with me? I'm just bluer than blue. And then I started to double-check myself spiritually to see, did I do something? Did I allow something in my house? Did I bring something in with an attachment? You know, did I upset another witch? What did I do? I mean, what's going on here? Did I not say the prayer of protection? Am I not covered? Did I let that slip? Did I get lax? What's going on here? And then it dawned on me when I said, well, this is when it started happening. When I went to the hair salon and I had these extensions put in, this is when this started happening. So I went the next day and I took them out. Just took them out. Well, what a terrible waste of money. But, man, I was sad. I couldn't even function. I was so depressed. And you know what? I was fine. As soon as those things came off, I was fine. And I personally have a reasoning that whoever had that human hair and wore that hair was someone who battled depression, and that spirit was on her hair. And when she cut it and she sold it, it stayed attached to the hair. And that was something that, you know, was a lesson for me, to be very, very careful about attachments into items. You just don't know. And you've got to know, if you're someone who's going to walk this walk and you're serious about it, that you're going to have the enemy very unhappy with you about making that change in your life. It says when you make this commitment to follow Christ and you give your heart over, your soul over, your mind over to Christ, thousands of angels clap and celebrate in the spirit realm. Well, guess who's not happy about it? Guess who's not happy about it? So you have to understand something, that this in the spiritual walk that you have, even Jesus Christ was tempted by the devil. You know the story. Read it. It's in the Gospels, temptation of Christ. Even the devil was constantly whispering in his ear. Why? Because he just come off of a 40-day fast. He was clean and pure and whole. His mind was ready to receive what the Holy Spirit needed for him to know, to get very focused on what he was supposed to do as he started his ministry. And there's the devil coming along, trying to get him off focus, trying to say things to him to get him off focus of what he's supposed to be doing. You know what I mean. When you got all these personal issues, what do you focus on? I know when I got stuff going on, I focus on my personal issues because I'm a person. That's what people do. Then I have to catch myself and say, wait a minute, Karen, your spirit, you operate in a spirit realm. Take the focus off yourself. Don't worry about what you're going through. God will take care of you. If you seek first the kingdom of God and you focus on what you're supposed to be focusing on, don't worry about yourself, ladies and gentlemen, because you know what? You're expending precious time on stuff that surrounds you and does not surround the purpose that God called you to do. As I get older, I'm more and more aware how much physical time do I have left to be able to do everything I feel like God has called me to do. The question always pops up. I agree with you, Karen, but I don't know what God wants me to do. I get that question after the question of why does bad things happen to people if there's a loving God. That's the next question I get. Well, what am I supposed to do? Very simple, ladies and gentlemen. Read it in the Gospels. Read it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you don't know what you're supposed to do, start out with the basics. Start out with the basic stuff. I was hungry. I was thirsty. I needed clothes. I was in prison. I was sick. You know, hospital, shut in. That's basically what that means. You came to visit me. You encouraged me. You comforted me. You filled me so I wasn't going around hungry or thirsty. You gave me clothes. That's the basic ministry that Jesus Christ said. If you do these things, you're doing them to me. You're doing them to me because you come in the name of Christ. You're doing them for Christ when you do this. You're helping to stop suffering at a very elementary level when you do these things. You're helping to stop suffering. I still do these things, ladies and gentlemen, not to tell you to boast or brag, but to let you know that when I can't figure out quite what I'm supposed to be doing, I will resort back to the very basic rudimentary understanding of my faith, which is those five things that I just mentioned. If you say you believe in Christ, you're supposed to do those things, basically. You can't do them all. Well, pick one. Do something. Do something, okay? You're coming in the name of a God, a Christ, and you need to do something to prove it. Anybody can say they're a Christian and sit on a hard pew every Sunday. What does that do? Be very proactive in what you believe. Be very proactive in your faith. And your faith is of Christ. Well, then you got to do what he says do. That's just the very basic stuff. Very, very basic stuff. If you do those things, you're stopping evil. It's evil when someone's hungry. It's evil when someone's battling cancer or medical conditions. You know how depressing it is to have health problems? I hope you don't. But a lot of you know what it's like to have major health issues and to feel that depression. Like, my God, things aren't ever going to get any better. I don't even want to be alive. If you've ever been that sick before, oh, listen, you can make your money back and you can heal your relationships, but you can't get your health back without a miracle. It's depressing. Or thinking that you're going to be in prison for the rest of your life because you made a bad judgment call. You did something you shouldn't have done. I know a lot of people are like, well, they deserve it. That's not your place to say that. You're not God. According to the Bible, you have to go and you have to encourage them and comfort them and let them know that God loves them. Why? Because God's love is unconditional. God's love is unconditional. Sin and evil is sin and evil. Doesn't matter how big or little. There's no measuring cup to sin or evil. And these are people with souls, and those souls need to be encouraged because, well, Jesus Christ said do it. So you need to do it. I did it for 3 years. That's not the one I'm picking right now, but I did do it for 3 years. Got to tell you, I learned a lot. They didn't send me to the cushy jail either. Building 21, ladies and gentlemen, Denver County Jail. These were the hard ones, the hard criminals. These were men. These were not women. I don't care either way who it was. I had no problem with it. I've seen many of them cry like babies, humble and thankful and grateful. I used to give them an opportunity to speak. Who in here would like to say something? Stand up. I just want to thank the Lord. I want to thank the Lord I'm in here because it made me check myself and get myself back in balance and shape because I wasn't thinking straight, and I could be dead right now if it wasn't for Joe. That's what they say. Many times, I have a prayer request that God would protect my kids, that God would protect my mama and my family, because I'm in here and I can't protect them, and I just want them to be protected. That's what they say. Those are the two things they say all the time. People don't say that in church. People don't say that when they're not in jail. Man, it used to touch me to think that these criminals, some of them hardened criminals, still feel it in their heart that they want to protect their kids. Yeah, I got a little jealous at that because I never had that growing up. Like, wow, even this hardened criminal feels that and prays that God would protect their family, that God would be gracious and just praise him that they're so blessed. I go in to do nursing home, and I did convalescent home, but I call it nursing home ministries. That's not a politically correct thing to say anymore, but assisted living, whatever you want to call it. I did that for 3 years too. This is all part of my chaplaincy. I never saw people who were so grateful and thankful. Old people. You'd say, well, why would an old person left in a nursing home to die be grateful and thankful? Oh, they were. Every one of them, I just want to thank the Lord I got a roof over my head because I could be out in that street right now. But I have a place to stay, and I got 3 meals coming to me, and I got a bed, and I'm thankful and I'm grateful. I used to have the old people. So you guys pray for these kids right down the road in this ghetto. These are street kids. These are gangbangers. They got no direction. Pray for them. You can do something to help me while you're in here doing nothing. You're helping me when you pray for these people. And they would. They pray for them out loud. Every one of those kids on the street. And I started to get this little network going. Yep. Pray for these homeless people. They're going to come in and eat at 5 o'clock. Many of them are going to be just drunk out of their mind. They're going to be so high on something. Pray for them that whatever's going on with them will be healed and they'll start to make good judgment calls and directions and that the spirit of addiction would come off of them. Huh? They did. They said, we don't mind, chaplain. We got nothing but time on our hands. We'll sit here all day and pray if you want us to. Man, they had a sense of purpose. I said, if you're doing this and you're praying this, you don't need to be dead yet. You've got a purpose right here or you would be called on to glory. So you all believe in Jesus Christ. You'll go on to be with him if you don't have a purpose while you're here. Yeah. Everything's for a reason. They have a reason to be here. Can do something. Maybe they can't get up and walk. They can do something. The prayers are huge. That's just like sending energy to the throne of God on behalf of somebody. So I always say, pray for me. Let me tell you something else. I go into hospitals now. I do a hospital chaplaincy now. I go in, you know, probably 40 or 50 rooms in one day and say, do you want prayer? And probably 50% of them or more say, no, I don't. I'm okay. No, I'm okay. Well, what does that mean, you're okay? Why would you not want prayer if somebody's offering it to you? I think it's because they think that they're not bad off enough, so we need to save those prayers for someone who's on their deathbed or something. I think that's the thinking behind it. I don't think they mean to be, you know, disrespectful. But that's not how it works, ladies and gentlemen. If you offered me prayer, I would take it right now. Why would I not take it? Why would you not take prayer? You can always use prayer. I remember when I lived at the beach, I used to live in Virginia Beach. I did radio there. I did radio before I did TV, honestly, about 12 years before I did television. And I was working at the station in Virginia Beach, so it was kind of cool to be able to get up before my shift and go down to the beach and spend some time. But I remember one a particular guy that would stand right at the stairs where you go down into the sand and ask everybody if they wanted prayer, you know. And everybody thought he was a nut, and they'd shoo him off and say, you know, leave me alone, or just give him a dirty look. So it was my turn to go down, and he stopped me and said, "Do you want prayer?" And I said, "Absolutely." He grabbed me and he prayed for me. And the man actually was very gifted. He had a prophetic ability or something about him because he looked at me and goes, I know that you're okay, and I know that, you know, you have ability of some sort too that's being used for the kingdom of God. Hey, what if that guy was an angel or something, and then he just disappeared? I should have turned around when I walked away. He could have been an angel. I don't know. Bible says that happens. The angel thing is very real. That's biblical. But my point is, don't turn it away. Anybody that wants to pray for you, you're never so above anything that you don't need to be prayed for. Pray for me. Get as many people as you can to pray for you, especially if you're a holy person, a spiritual leader. You should warrant the prayers of everybody. Because, man, you've got to lead in battle. You've got to be strategic. You've got to know what you're saying. You've got to know what you're doing. I mean, if you've ever been a leader in battle and you've been taken down, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And many leaders have. I've had my share, but I know some that have really been pummeled, man. They got smacked off the white horse in a big way. And they're just now trying to figure out what happened and then get back on that horse. I mean, there's a lot going on. Some of them do get right back on and continue, and others just say, I can't get back on the horse now. I'm too wounded. I'm too injured. But, you know, if you're shocked or surprised, and that was you, you need to rethink this. There's no way that you're going to take a covenant with Christ to be a holy person, a pastor, preacher, minister, and not expect the enemy to come attack you. It doesn't mean he's going to win. It doesn't mean you're going to be defeated. It means you better be prepared. Ephesians chapter 6, guys, read it. Full armor of God, everything that you need to know to protect yourself from the wiles of the devil. That's what it says. I don't know why people don't preach this more, but they need to. I need to hear more of this stuff on TV and less of the stuff on TV that I'm hearing now. But that's another topic for another day. This is what a true spiritual journey is. You know, there's a lot of happy, fluffy stuff about being on a spiritual journey. You can go listen to my inspirational group for that. I do a lot of that, too, and it's popular. My gosh, I've got 4,000 or 5,000 people who follow me on that group. I've been an inspirational writer for over 20 years. Karate magazines, books, you name it, and I'm known as that, a inspirational martial artist. Cool. Don't think I don't know the truth, okay? I'm not all a Hallmark greeting card, ladies and gentlemen. I know what's really going on out there. There's a battle of good and evil going on. You're going to have to step it up. So when you're done feeling all warm and fluffy, come on over here. Listen to this stuff. Get ready to do some work and get down to business, because that's why we're here. Hey, listen. God bless you. Pray for me. If you need anything, you know how to hit me up. I'm all over social media. I feel a little bad sometimes, you know, because I see myself all over social media, and I'm like, I don't know. But it's good to keep yourself valid. It's good to keep yourself out there. I have to. That's the way it is now. I mean, everybody's on social media. It's just, you can't get away from it. If you're going to do any type of, you know, promotional stuff, you got to do it that way. That's just the way the generations underneath us are coming up. They're not readers. They're social mediaers. That's how they handle it. And so to be valid, you're going to have to hit that circuit. I avoided it for years. I'm like, I don't want to do that stuff. I don't want to do that stuff. Finally, it was the voice of God. Karen, you need to do this or you're not going to be able to make a difference. You know, you need to step out of the dark and let your light shine. Or I can't use you. I know you like to be the introverted lone wolf and hide in your room and never come out. And, you know, I know you like that, but this is God talking to me. But I need for you to get out, step out of the darkness and into your calling. So that's why I do what I do. God bless you. We'll see you next time on the Eden Assignment. You take care. Bye-bye.